أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إلا
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله قال الله تعالى أم حسبتم أن تدخلوا الجنة ولما يأتكم مثل الذين خلوا من قبلكم مستهم البأساء والضراء وزلزلوا حتى يقول الرسول والذين آمنوا معه متى نصر الله ألا إن نصر الله قريب صدق الله العظيم.
Most respected علماء, elders, brothers, and our mothers and sisters listening from home, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our master, our cherisher, our nourisher, our provider, our sustainer. And we send the choicest of salutations upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ashabihi wa barik wa sallim. The merciless onslaught on our brothers and sisters in Gaza over the past 1.5 years has taught us as a Muslim ummah many, many lessons. It has taught us the reality of bravery and courage that is demonstrated by these beautiful individuals in the face of adversity. It has taught us about the concepts of tawakkul, trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite and against all odds. It has taught us to appreciate the bounties that we enjoy in our own lives, which our brothers and sisters are deprived of, whether it is our access to water, sanitation, electricity, safety, food, drink, freedom, clothing, so many different things that we enjoy, which they have been deprived of and which we can see very clearly that they do not have access to. It has taught us, or it should have taught us, to be considerate when we spend lavishly on our functions, on our parties, our weddings. The amount of israf that we engage in for our functions is ridiculous, to use the correct adjective. We cry about Gaza, we cry about justice, we call for arms, but at the same time we are spending hundreds, if not thousands, sometimes millions, just on the decor for the function, before the function, before the function, before the actual wedding. This is the reality, and it is something that we as a community need to introspect on. What amount of expenditure just on these aspects, yet at the same time we find that these 2.5 million people barely have access to a glass of water. It has exposed and taught us about the hypocrisy and the treachery of the so-called civilized nations of the world, who claimed to be the beacons of democracy, who claimed the highest levels of human rights and justice, whilst simultaneously being complicit in the genocide at every level, politically, economically, financially, in terms of their products and their services. It has also exposed and taught us about the apparent weakness of the Muslim Ummah at a government and a nation level, despite the multitude of resources that we have available to us. And on the positive side, it has taught us and brought to the fore the energy of the Muslims around the world that are united on a common cause. And that common cause is the eradication of oppression, of injustice and evil. We see this on the streets of the Western capitals throughout the world. Protests in their political offices, on their campuses and outside of their corporations. And we see the non-Muslims that are joining them in the thousands, if not millions, throughout the world. And we also see the fear in the hallways of imperial hegemony against these very acts of defiance. Mass detentions, deportations, for no other reason than a peaceful protest against genocide. Why is this being done? Because there is fear. There is fear in the hearts of imperial hegemony over the control that they once possessed. Now my respected friends and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeatedly tells us in the Quran Majeed, إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ, that all of these events, all of these things that happen, intelligent people like us as in Ummah, we should be taking lessons from these incidents. They should be teaching us something to improve our lives, to improve who we are. And when we study the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanallah, we will find so many examples that give us comfort, that give us consolation. The ayat that I read at the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very clearly says to us, أَمْ حَسِبَتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ, do you think that you will enter into Jannah, وَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, whilst you will not be afflicted with those things that afflicted those that came before you. مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُوزِلُوا, they experienced financial difficulty, calamities, hardships, until they were shaken. This is the words of the Quran. وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ, until it felt as if, and we see it now, that the question is being asked, that when is the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming? Immediately, the response, أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ, verily the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very close. You and I, when we hear the word very close, we feel like it should be in the next minute, in the next hour, in the next day, in the next week. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not bound by time, by place. The help will come when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to provide that assistance. But at the same time, there are so many lessons that we take from the situation that we are facing. The situation that our brothers and sisters are giving their blood, their sweat, their comfort, their lives, their family members, for you and I to take a lesson. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is a beautiful incident. After the battle of Uhud, there was an individual that came from the Najd area, and he requested Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to send a delegation of Sahaba radiallahu anhum to teach his community about deen. He did not accept Islam, but he requested that people should be sent to teach his community about Islam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prepared a group of approximately 70 Sahaba. They were the Qurra, they were the Huffaz of the Ummah, And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent them across. And this particular delegation, when we look at this incident, we need to look at it in terms of the response of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had appointed Haram bin Milhan as the Amir of this delegation. And when they reached their destination, he went forward to meet with the leader of the tribe, Amir bin Tufail. And that leader was treacherous, and he killed this particular Sahabi. And he then sought assistance from the neighboring tribes to turn and ambush this group of Sahaba, and they were mercilessly killed. Only one of them survived. He came back to Madinah Munawwara, and shortly thereafter he also passed away. This incident is a very famous incident in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, known as the incident of Bir Ma'una. It took place at a well of Ma'una. And so after this incident, we now study the response of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you see that his response was on two levels. One was the spiritual response, the ukhrawi response, the response that is related to the akhirah. And the other was a dunyawi, a worldly response. When it comes to the spiritual response, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed about this incident by Jibreel alayhi salam, and it is mentioned that he became extremely, extremely grieved. He was really, really upset about what had occurred. These were such high-ranking sahaba. These were qurra. These were huffaz of the Qur'an. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is mentioned, began to recite qunut nazila, what we know as the qunut in the fajr salah. This was what prompted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to begin the recitation of qunut in the fajr salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was extremely upset, and in this qunut he would make dua and he would curse these tribes that assisted Amir bin Tufail in the massacre of the 70 Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So this was the first spiritual response of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this was the response of dua. Every one of us has got this weapon of dua that is available to us. We may not be able to do other things. Our means may be limited. But my respected friends and elders, every one of us has the ability to raise our hands for a few minutes. Not once a day, but multiple times. When those moments of dua, they are acceptance of dua, whether it is in the early part of the morning, whether it is, a hadith mentions dua at the time of adhan. There is one hadith that mentions that there are two duas that are not rejected. The dua at the time of adhan, after adhan, and the dua on the battlefield. Whilst people are engaging in battle, duas are accepted. Dua on Fridays, dua immediately before the Maghrib Salah. These are times for us to raise our hands and beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His assistance. We'll talk a little bit about this concept of qunut. This qunut is, qunut nazila is a supplication that is made at the time of calamities. When there is a general calamity that is afflicting the Muslim ummah, then it was the habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was witnessed in this particular incident, that for a lengthy period of time, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would engage in qunut. This word qunut, linguistically, it means obedience, it means prayer, supplication. So it is a form of dua, it is a form of seeking assistance from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The technical definition is that it is a specific supplication during salah that is done in a specific position. And according to the majority of the ulama, Qunut-e-Nazila is to be recited in the Fajr Salah, in the second rakat, after a person comes up from ruku. In some of the other madahib, it is to be recited in the other Jahri Salahs, the Salahs like Maghrib and Isha, but in the Hanafi Mazhab, it is recited in the Fajr Salah. Qunut can also be recited when a person is performing Salah individually. So the women folk at home that are performing Fajr Salah, they can also recite Qunut-e-Nazila in the Fajr Salah. And we should try, we should learn even a short version of the Qunut. If we are reciting Salah on our own, we can recite it in the Fajr Salah. Mufti Mahmood Rahimahullah also mentions that Qunut-e-Nazila can be recited at night in the Nawafil Salah. So we make two rakats of Salah at night. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to wake up for the Tahajjud Salah, it can also be recited individually in the Nawafil Salah at night. So my respected friends and elders, we should try and avail of this opportunity. Let us look at the beautiful message that the Qunut has. The ahadith, there are different versions of the Qunut. But just to summarize without going into a detailed translation, what are we asking for in the Qunut? When the Imam is reciting the Qunut, he is asking for guidance, he is asking for safety, he is asking for protection, he is asking for blessings. Beautiful, beautiful du'as. Then the Imam is asking for forgiveness for all of the believers. Allahumma ighfir lana walil mu'minina wal mu'minat. Forgiveness for all of the believers. And then very importantly, and look at these beautiful messages that are again a lesson for each and every one of us. وَأَلِّفْ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ. He's asking for unity amongst the hearts of the believers. Why? Because disunity is the cancer of this ummah. It is something that destroys the ability of the ummah to move forward, and it brings down the adab, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taken away when our hearts are disunited. وَأَصْلِحْ ذَاتَ بَيْنِهِمْ. We are asking for a reconciliation of the differences between people. Then, in these du'as, we are also asking or making du'a against the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made du'a against the enemies. He made du'a, he cursed the enemies, those who are preventing from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Making du'a, وَزَلْزِلْ أَقْدَامَهُمْ, to shake the ground beneath their feet. Allahumma shattit shamlahum wa mazziq jam'ahum, to cause division, again division and disunity in their ranks, to destroy them. And then there is also an opportunity to make specific du'as for specific situations. For example, if there is what we see today, the situation in Gaza, then we can make specific du'as for Gaza. If there is a difficulty in a different part of the world, we can make specific du'as. Of course, in Salah we have to make du'a in Arabic. So these are the beautiful du'as that we find that come out of Qunut-e-Nazila, and this was the spiritual response to this particular incident from the side of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But now let us look at the material. Let us look at the worldly response. And this is the beauty of the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is filled with wisdom. It is filled with strategy. Nabi alayhi salam was an extremely strategic individual. So after this particular incident, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the commentaries of seerah mention that this represented a turning point in the missionary and the da'wah strategy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Number one, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam required stricter guarantees of state-protected safety for the envoys that he sent out to different tribes and countries. Previously, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam accepted the verbal assurance of this particular person that had come to Madinah Munawwara. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam insisted that there were additional security measures to protect those that he was sending out. Number two, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam prioritized strategic alliances. After this incident, you will see a turning point that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam began making different tribes for different reasons. One example, and we don't have the time to go into the detail of this incident, and that is the incident of Hudaybiyah. A beautiful incident wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam strategically entered into an alliance or a peace treaty with the Mushrikeen, the Quraysh of Makkah. Outwardly, it seemed like a step backwards. It seemed like there was an advantage that was given to the disbelievers against the believers. So much so, they were upset, they were perturbed, and they raised the question that, you know, is this really to our benefit? But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was visionary. He was forward thinking. He understood that by entering into a temporary peace treaty with the Quraysh of Makkah Mukarramah, he was able to achieve two things. Number one, it paved the way for him to wage or send out emissaries to the rest of the world. You will find that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam now sent out emissaries to the Roman Empire, to the Persian Empire, etc. He did not need to fight a war on multiple fronts because the home side was now secure through this treaty, and he could now wait and move forward throughout the other areas of Hijaz. And number two, he realized that the Quraysh of Makkah, the disbelievers, would most definitely break the treaty in some way. This is the pattern of the disbelievers. You find it today, their nifaq, their hypocrisy. No matter how much they will enter into diplomacy with you, but at the end of the day, it is always selfish desires that they follow. They will break the pacts and the treaties and the alliances. This is the case right till today, and we see it in global politics that is playing out today. So Rasulullah ﷺ recognized and realized that this was going to happen. But in the interim, it allowed him to move into a position of strength. He was able to increase in numbers. He was able to increase his military power and strength and army. And when that treaty was then broken, Rasulullah ﷺ then had sufficient resources to move in. And Makkah Mukarramah was conquered. And then it paved the way for the conquest of the entire Hijaz. So we take a lesson from this, respected friends and elders, that Rasulullah's material worldly response to this event, this tragedy that occurred, this calamity, was to be very strategic and to change his approach in terms of how he was moving forward with regards to da'wah, with regards to engaging with people around him. So what are the lessons for us today? Number one, we must recognize that the blood, the sweat, the tears, the injuries, the homes, the family members of the people of Gaza have been sacrificed to teach us, you and I, sitting here thousands of miles down in the tip of Africa, to teach us so many lessons. Our physical help to them at this moment may be limited, but at the very least, we can take the many lessons that we have learned over the last 1.5 years. Number two, our response when we are very far away and somewhat helpless, like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was far away at the time of this incident, and also it was not possible to take revenge at that point in time, but we must have a spiritual and a worldly response. Spiritually, of course, we begin with earnest dua, number one. And number two, spiritually, we need to rectify our own spirituality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. That fitna and corruption, calamities, trials, difficulties, they spread around the world because what mankind is doing, the sins that you and I are committing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly sends down these things. Why? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. So that they may return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Commentators mention that the purpose of these calamities is to awaken them from their slumber so that they may get rid of the evil acts. We become so enraged when there isn't a national call for the boycott of products or the call to arms by ulama, and we take to the groups, etc. But where is our rage when the majority of the jama'ah sitting here did not perform Fajr Salah in the masjid? Why don't we become enraged when it comes to that? Why don't we become enraged when the Muslim Ummah earns and pays interest? We are waging war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my respected friends and elders, the change begins with us. And then when it comes to the material aspect, and we conclude on that, we need to become more strategic in our approach. We need to take some lessons from here. We need unity of heart, unity of mind, unity of purpose. We cannot go on business as usual, eat, earn, sleep, repeat. We have to recognize the reality of the treachery of our enemies, and we have to start planning for the future. Our time has come to an end, and so we cannot go into that. Inshallah, in a future discussion, we will go into that. But I invite you to think about how we can become more strategic and unified as an ummah, to take a lesson from this situation that we are faced with, and we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq, both spiritually and materially, to progress as an ummah. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes the difficulties, the calamities, the trials and the tribulations from our brothers and sisters in Gaza and wherever else they are suffering throughout the world. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد عباد الله اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون فقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اتق الله حيثما كنت وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها وخالق الناس بخلق حسن أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام فتوبوا إلى الله جميعا أيها المؤمنون لعلكم تفلحون فقال تعالى قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم أقول قولي هذا فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأزواجه وذرياته أجمعين ومن اتبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر وأصدقهم حياء عثمان وأقضاهم علي وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة جنة وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضي الله تعالى عنهم وعن كل الصحابة أجمعين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم اغفر لنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وألف بين قلوبهم وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في فلسطين وفي غزة وفي كل مكان يا رب العالمين إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون Let us straighten the rows, fill in all of the gaps, ensure that the masjid is full first before we make the sufuf in the sahen in the back areas.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ألهاكم التكاثر والمقابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم ثم لترونها عين اليقين ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام، تباركت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت، ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والعفة والأمانة وحسن الخلق والرضا بالقدر. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.